This is Pastor Emery with the second broadcast in a series of six on the alien invasion of America. In this series, I will show from the Bible that this invasion, and that is what this is, an invasion, is part of a prophesied war between Red Russia and Christian America. Although most aliens coming into the United States are not communists or our enemies, unknown tens of thousands of them are trained or controlled by the Reds. Those thousands are part of an ongoing Red Bolshevik invasion of this last bastion of Christianity. During the broadcast, I will tell you how you can obtain a free copy of my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. Stay tuned. Thank you. Last week we began a study of the Bible prophecies which foretell a great worldwide conflict which will bring this age to a close and prepare the earth for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That last great conflict must be near, or perhaps it is already underway, if we read the signs of the times aright. In our free packet of literature for this month, for April, I am offering a booklet I wrote several years ago titled The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. Now I realize there may be some among my listeners who will scoff and say, "Oh, Pastor Emery, that is just your interpretation of the Bible, and besides, neither Russia nor the United States is mentioned by name in the Bible, so how can you arrive at such a conclusion?" Well, we will develop that theme as we go along, but I think today I will read words spoken over 100 years ago in the United States by two men in which they predicted that Russia and the United States would eventually come into conflict. Perhaps they spoke in fulfillment of God's promise in Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." What these men spoke was certainly prophetic. I will give the source, the date the men spoke, and read their words. And these portions of their speeches or sermons are reprinted in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. So if you write for the April packet, you will be able to read that in the book. Both of these are from before our Civil War. The first one I will read is from a speech given by a Commodore M.C. Perry of the United States Navy, spoken on March 6, 1856, before the American Geographical and Statistical Society. And as I read this, remember that at that time, the government of Russia was very friendly to this new United States. There was no animosity between these nations, since our nation was largely Christian, and the Russian czars and much of the Russian leadership was also Christian. So Admiral Perry would have been kind of sticking his neck out to name such a friendly nation as a future enemy in warfare. Commander Perry had been speaking on the future greatness of the United States, and then he continued with these words, which we have reprinted in our book. This was on March 6, 1856. Quote, "It requires no sage to predict events so strongly foreshadowed to us all. Still, westward will the course of empire take its way. But the last act of the drama is yet to be unfolded, and notwithstanding the reasoning of political empires, westward, northward, and southward, to me it seems that the people of America will, in some form or other, extend their dominion and their power until they shall have brought within their mighty embrace multitudes of the islands of the great Pacific and placed the Saxon race upon the eastern shores of Asia. And I think, too, that eastward and southward will her great rival in future aggrandizement, Russia, stretch forth her power to the coast of China and Siam. And thus the Saxon and the Cossack will meet once more, in strife or in friendship, on another field. Will it be in friendship? I fear not. The antagonistic exponents of freedom and absolutism must thus meet at last, and then will be fought that mighty battle on which the world will look with breathless interest. For on its issue will depend the freedom or slavery of the world. Despotism or rational liberty must be the fate of civilized man. I think I see in the distance the giants that are growing up for that fierce and final encounter. In the progress of events, that battle must sooner or later inevitably be fought. End of quote. It should be interesting to my listeners that a United States naval officer over 100 years ago recognized the probable future conflict between Russia and America. And yet today, with that conflict now upon us of many years standing, we still have ministers who insist Russia is going to fight against Palestine. And they go to great lengths to convince their listeners that Russia's whole military armada is being developed to attack a little nation in the Mideast about the size of New Jersey. Just a year after Commodore Perry made his prophecy of this war, the United States Congress invited a Reverend F.E. Pitts to address a joint session of both houses on Washington's birthday and speak to them on Bible prophecy. The title of Pastor Pitt's sermon that day was The United States of America Foretold in the Holy Scriptures. His sermon so fascinated the Congress, they requested that he return the next day and speak again, which he did. On February 23rd, and remember this is 1857, over 100 years ago, Reverend Pitts chose as his subject the Battle of Armageddon. Both of Mr. Pitts' sermons were printed in a Washington newspaper the next day. I will read a portion of his second sermon, which we have reprinted in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. In his sermon on the first day, Pastor Pitts had identified the United States of America as the great nation promised to Abraham, called in the Bible Zion and the New Jerusalem, and the nation against which all the world would be gathered in battle at the end of the age. Then in his second sermon, he identified Russia as the great power with whom all the enemies of Christ would gather in their last desperate attempt to overthrow Christ's dominion and set up the rule of the Antichrist over all the earth. He had spoken for about an hour in this second sermon, and you listen to this preacher of over 100 years ago as he sums up his description of the Battle of Armageddon. Quote, "The symbols are so numerous, the imagery so perfectly descriptive of each respective scene, and the correspondence of each member so wonderfully adapted to complete the symmetry of the whole, we are bound to behold their fulfillment in the rise and growing grandeur of a great consolidated republic on the one hand, and the reconstruction of the autocracy of antiquity in some vast empire on the other. These two colossal powers will meet in a last decisive struggle. These two great powers are the United States of America and Russia, both extending the magnitude of their greatness so that in the present state of affairs a perfect coincidence of fact answers a perfect description of prophecy. We look to the future for the finale of these startling wonders to be fulfilled in a conflict that will enlist all nations, stir the world with commotion, and drench the earth with blood." End of quote. I am sorry we do not have that entire sermon in print. I do have a copy of it. Someday, God willing, we will be able to make it available. But the part I just read is in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America, along with the information about when it was preached to the United States Congress, and so on. I put it in there as evidence that men preaching long before Pastor Emory knew the Bible prophesied Russia will invade America. Now, my address, where you can write and obtain my book. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free April packet of literature. The packet also includes a 200-year-old sermon preached in colonial America titled, Civil Rulers Are God's Ministers. You'll also receive information on a new book, a large one, almost 700 pages, titled, The Christian History of the American Revolution. This book is not included in the packet, obviously, but information on how you can obtain it is. This beautiful book gives evidence that our colonial forefathers believed their fight for independence was a religious struggle, a holy Christian war, and that God was on their side to help them set up a Christian republic in this wilderness. We believe that also, for America is that great Zion nation of Bible prophecy, and that is why the haters of God and the haters of Jesus Christ hate and try to destroy America. America is Zion. In the April packet will also be our article on the swine flu, the great 1976 swine flu caper. Before you let the government doctors or any doctor inject your children with their so-called immunization for childhood diseases, you write and get this article and read it. May God awaken you to the danger and have mercy on this, His people. The address for that free literature again is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And pray for this broadcast. God knows the enemies of our people do not want our people warned of the warfare being conducted against them. Pray that we may continue to be watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem to warn our people. This is Pastor Emery. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. This is the chapter where Jesus gave his disciples a number of signs that would come to pass to indicate the end of the age. I will read only one verse. You should read it all. Verse 9, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations or all people for my name's sake. This and other verses indicate the last warfare would be against the people who believed in Jesus Christ, against the Christians. We've already read most of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 in previous studies, but two verses bear repeating again. Revelation 17, verses 5 and 6. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I remind you of those again before we go to the Old Testament, because almost every prophecy preacher on radio today is trying to tell you the red beast of world communism, which controls Russia and China, is going to fight and make war against the Jews in old Palestine. That is not true. The warfare of the Reds, here symbolized by the scarlet-colored beast and the woman arrayed in scarlet clothing, is against Christians, against the followers of Jesus Christ. Any other teaching is a deception. In Revelation 19, where we read of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the heaven opened, and John beheld a white horse, verse 11, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in verse 13, his name is called the Word of God. We read this in verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. All of the New Testament teaches us that the army of Jesus Christ are those who believe on his name and follow him. The beast and the kings of the earth are gathered together to make war against Jesus Christ and against his armies. They are not gathered together to make war against a little nation in old Palestine, occupied by a people who hate Jesus Christ. Anyone who teaches that is teaching false doctrine. No, this warfare which is now going on in the earth is the War of the Reds, or the Antichrist, against Christendom, against the nations of Jesus Christ, represented by the nations of Western Europe, South Africa, Australia, the United States, and Canada. Now let us turn to the Old Testament and see if we can demonstrate the connection between what God said to ancient Israel and what we now see happening to Christendom today. Last week we read God's judgment in His law in Deuteronomy 28 that if the Israel people disobeyed His laws, trouble and tribulation would come upon them, eventually bringing them under subjection to alien peoples. I compared that to the increasing invasion of America by non-Christian aliens and their taking over control of our nation. But first, let us consider what actually happened to ancient Israel. I'll give a brief resume of Israel's history. After God brought Israel out of Egypt under Moses, Israel had a hectic early history of war, victory, and blessings, then disobedience and defeat. In the book of Judges alone, there are recorded 6 times Israel was conquered by aliens because she disobeyed God. Later, Israel demanded a king, and Samuel anointed Saul over them. He was first a good king, then became rebellious and brought disaster on Israel. David followed Saul with 40 years of victorious warfare, and then his son Solomon ruled over Israel in 40 years of peace and prosperity. However, upon the death of Solomon, we read in 1 Kings 12 that the Israel nation was divided into 2 parts. The northern kingdom, which was called the House of Israel, and the southern kingdom called the House of Judah. Then followed several hundred years of good and bad kings, of periods of prosperity and peace, and periods of war and defeat, while God continually sent prophets to Israel, warning them that if they continued in disobedience, God would send alien nations against them and take them out of the land. Finally, we read in 2 Kings chapters 16, 17, and 18 that God sent the king of Assyria against the northern kingdom, conquered it, and took the whole people out of Palestine and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. That's 2 Kings 17 and verse 6. A few years later, we read in 2 Kings 18 and verse 13, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." So, by 700 B.C., 7 centuries before Jesus was born, all of Israel, except a very small remnant of Judah in Jerusalem, had been taken captive out of the land of Palestine and transplanted into Asia Minor. In the next 100 years, the Assyrian Empire lost its power, and unknown hundreds of thousands, probably millions, of these captive Israelites and Judahites escaped out of Assyria and migrated into Eastern and Southern Europe, disappearing from Old Palestine, but continuing to grow in numbers as they overspread and occupied the vast continent of Europe. God had spoken to Israel through the prophet Hosea in chapter 1, verse 4, "I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel." Verse 6, "I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away." Verse 9, "For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." But at the same time God was pronouncing this separation and divorce upon them, He pronounced again upon them the Abrahamic covenant of increase in numbers. Verse 10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered." Not only did he do that, but he also pronounced upon them the promise to Abraham that eventually they would all be reconciled to God as his people. Same verse, "And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them,
ye are the sons of the living God. The whole second chapter of Hosea is a beautiful promise that God would bless this dispersed Israel, that he would multiply them, that he would increase them both in numbers and in wealth, and that he eventually would reconcile them unto himself. In verse 2, he says they are now divorced and no longer God's wife. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Verses 17 through 20 of Hosea 2 is a promise of future betrothal and remarriage to the same Israel people. And verse 23, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Later, the remaining small remnant of Judah in Jerusalem was taken captive to Babylon for 70 years, and a tiny portion of them, less than 50,000, returned to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the city and to be the line through whom Christ came. But the vast mass of Israel, perhaps numbering many tens of millions, were dispersed into Europe, so that 500 years before Christ, Europe was largely populated by the descendants of the dispersed tribes of Israel. In the New Testament, they are called the ethnos, or the Gentiles, and are now known to us to be the lost sheep of the house of Israel, our ancestors. There is not one line or one prophecy in all of the Bible that God would cast off Israel and then go to a non-Israel people to make them Christians. No, the promise of Christianity, the promise of Jesus, was to Israel. The promise of the New Covenant was to Israel. And it was to lost, dispersed Israel in Europe that the disciples took the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the Gospels alone, we have many proofs that Jesus came to and for Israel. In Matthew 1, verse 21, we are told Jesus came to save his people from their sins. In chapter 2, verse 6, the wise men said Jesus would rule God's people, Israel. In Matthew 10, Jesus told his disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In chapter 15, Jesus said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke 1, Zacharias thanked God that Jesus was come to visit and redeem his people, meaning Israel. And in verse 72, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Only Israelites of all the earth's people were under that covenant. In John 1, verse 31, John the Baptist said that Jesus was to be made manifest, or to be made known to Israel. And in verse 49, Nathanael called Jesus the King of Israel. And on and on. My time is up today. Next week, God willing, we will see how Jesus and his disciples quoted the same Old Testament prophecies of Hosea and Isaiah, which prove the Gentiles were really lost Israel, and Jesus sent his disciples to them to tell them that he had reconciled them to God, and they again were God's people, and he was their God, and that God would continue to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant in them, eventually making them a great nation. Next week, God willing, we'll continue our history of our forefathers, bringing it down to the present day when we find the enemies of Christ gathered against America, the greatest Israel nation of all time, in that final battle spoken of by the prophets, the Battle of Armageddon. Write for our free April packet, my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America, and you can read those excerpts of those lectures over 100 years ago, where a U.S. Naval Commodore and a preacher prophesied war between Russia and America. Also, we'll send you the 200-year-old sermon we gave to the congressman in Washington, Civil Rulers Are God's Ministers. We'll include our article, The Great 1976 Swine Flu Caper. We'll also include a list of other literature our catalog of Bible studies on cassette tapes, information about coming Bible conferences, and so on. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.